we've been looking at this book. I want us to read from Acts 1, continue reading from Acts 1. Follow me in the Bible, okay? Have you got a Bible? Follow me in your Bible. Watch this. Now remember what they did. Remember midweek with Reverend Bishop Stephen? And remember how they said in Nepal, when they gave them those Bibles, that those were commissioning documents. Where's your commissioning document today? You got it? It's on your phone? You got it on your thing? You need a commissioning document with you, okay? Everyone's got one. Good. Listen, we need that commissioning document, that Holy Bible before us. Let me tell you something, okay? Your children, let me say, look, your family, your friends, the enemy wants them. He has a plan for them. And his schemes are deliberate for them. Oh, Billy Graham said it well, you know, years ago. He said, God's not called us to a playground. It's to a battlefield. Okay? It's a battlefield that we're in, not the playground. And in the battlefield, you take the commissioning document seriously. These words are serious words. Not playing around words. Serious words. Commissioning document. And so we have to take these words very seriously, my precious brothers and sisters. He says this. He says, now when he had spoken these things, verse 9 of Acts 1, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go up into heaven. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. Now, did anyone see the strange lights? I don't draw conclusions from strange lights, but I do know that the Bible says he's coming back. Now, listen, we're going to read on. Let's just read on. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. A Sabbath day journey is code language in the original for about an hour's journey. It was a short journey. Sabbath day, short journeys. Just about an hour, okay? And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the numbers and names were about 120, and said, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now notice that he obtained a part in the ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us, all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed to Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he may go to his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. They cast lots. They didn't have a church committee meeting and see how many exams they passed and see what they did. No, they cast lots. What does that say? It shows the dependence on God in the early church. Total dependence on God. In which ways now we would think, oh, those ways are, that's foolishness. It's not. It's called dependence. God still works in that way. I know. In ways I won't share here this morning. I know he works in those ways still. Now listen, this is a book of history. And this is a book to be taken so seriously because it points several things to us. First of all, it points about being, you shall receive power and power to be witnesses. Now I was thinking about this later on. In fact, we'll deal with that first. Come with me, please, to Acts. Further on, I have to show this. Acts chapter 8. Come with me to Acts 8. Okay. Yes. Are you with me? Are you in Acts 8?
Yeah.
Well, what's the verse? What's the verse? Okay. Come with me. I want to just show something to you, okay? I want to show something to you. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, isn't that interesting? It's strange this morning, everyone. Things are strange. Oh. Thank you. Okay. So come with me now to 19. Come to Acts 19, everyone. Acts 19. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. What a wonderful thing it is. Interesting things. The supernatural is very interesting. Let me read from verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, and Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "In John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. These were believers, but they hadn't yet been baptized with the Holy Spirit. So you see, they believed, but they hadn't been baptized with the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit that he speaks of in Acts 1 verse 8 wasn't theirs. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that very interesting? So many people, you see, live thinking they're living the Christian life, but there's no power. Devoid of power. Come with me back to Acts chapter 8 again. Let's read that verse now. We read from verse 14 of Acts 8. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. They were believers, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Oh. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been reflecting on things this week, and these verses came to my mind. Because in Acts 1, what you have is this instruction to wait for the Holy Spirit. Then they wait for the Holy Spirit and they receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, okay, has come upon you. Okay? I know people who have been Christians and they regard themselves as Christians, but they don't have power. Now, when it says power to be witnesses, what people usually think is, oh, well, you're going to have the power then and the courage to go outside and hand someone a tract and say, well, we're Christians. God bless you. God bless. And there's a form of power in that. Well, I wouldn't disagree. It takes a form of, you know, I wouldn't disagree with that. But there's more. Much more that isn't seen and isn't thought of, which I want to share now. I was thinking of a man that I once knew who was a Christian, who was a leader in the youth movement, who was a leader in the youth movement, who would share Jesus, who would hand out tracts, who was also a womanizer. He was a womanizer. Didn't have the power to stop that. How many people do you know who have been in the church? And you may have stood next to them in a church service. And they may have had their hands raised with you, and you may have prayed together with them, and you may have shared the things of God with them. Where are they now? Where are they? You see, the power to be a witness is an ongoing power that manifests daily. It's a daily manifestation of the power of God. People are looking, you know, they want to see a big testimony and a big thing. Great, that's tremendous when those things happen. But choose the real big testimony. Consistency. The power of consistency. The power of doing the same thing over and over and over again. The God who put springtime and harvest and sowing and growing and reaping into place keeps it at sowing and growing and reaping. And it's been like that since the beginning of time. He's not changed it. It's the same old boring principles. Some may say boring. I wouldn't say boring. I would say it's a wonderful pattern of God's will. It's sowing and growing and reaping. And the same thing is true in the spirit. When you sow spiritual things and you grow spiritual things, you reap a crop of spiritual things. So it's that sowing, it's that growing, and it's that reaping, and it's that consistency that God is calling us to in this verse. It's not just about going and being witnesses all over the world. Yes, it involves that. The text tells us to. But it also tells us in this letter, the first letter of the church of Jesus Christ, it tells us about that consistency and about the faithfulness and about when people let you down and about Paul saying, all Asia has left me, but I'll still stay faithful, he said, to this gospel. I don't care if there's just me and the family here today. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Because if I had cared 5 years ago when certain things happened, I'd have been put off. I don't care. I'm just going to stick and keep on doing the faithful thing. Because I know in whom I have believed. I know that, listen, they may be unfaithful, but I'm not going to allow their unfaithfulness, those people, I'm not going to allow their unfaithfulness to impact me at all. And I'll tell you the truth. What I find is this. When I just say that and yield to being his will, keep on doing what we're called to do, and just keep on keeping on, and recognizing that, yes, I need that power. My source, I have to be plugged into the source, otherwise I can't do it. But if I'm plugged into the source of power, if I'm really plugged into him, then I'll just keep on. I just keep on. And I'm not swayed by what I see or what I feel. I'm swayed by the word of God, which tells me what I need to do and how I need to be. That's the only thing that'll sway me. And the truth is that one person with God is the majority. What, you think the United Kingdom is such a big thing? No, it's not so big. It's not so big. One with God can change everything. I believe that. I really believe that. Oh, I have a totally irresponsible faith. Because you can't remain within the responsibility bracket and operate in faith a lot of the time. What's reasonable is a parameter that I'm not interested in. I like the unreasonable, totally unreasonable faith that we see in the Bible. It's that unreasonable type of life that I like. You know, there was a story I heard this week. There was this missionary man. And this missionary man, he was a clever, you know, he had a PhDs, a doctorates, and all the rest. And so he was sent to head up this missionary place somewhere in the world. And he had a housekeeper there helping him. She wasn't educated, but she loved the Lord, and she was a member of the church. And you know, and there was a person one day who came to the house who needed help. And this person needed help, and they came in and they sat down at the office of this PhD, this, everyone respected him, you know, and he inquired, and he had understanding of philosophy and things, you know, and psychology and things like this. And after talking to this man, he concluded that he was very disturbed and he needed an expert's advice. And he was going to put him somewhere to have some more advice. He didn't feel qualified to deal with this man's problems. And this woman came in, and she said, I can help you. He said, oh, you couldn't help him. You couldn't help him. He's got very complicated problems. He needs to be sent away. She said, but I believe in Jesus. And I believe in Jesus. And I believe that those demons can be driven out. He said, demons driven out? Of course. And she said, yes, I'll drive them out in Jesus' name, because I know that Jesus wants me to do that. And that man was set free that day, not by that missionary, but by that nice lady who was the housekeeper, because she was living with Jesus. She understood the truth of this gospel. She wasn't tied up in highfalutin thinking. So many of the people, you know, in the churches across the land, they're tied up in that type of highfalutin thinking. You know, it's not the gospel that we read about in Acts that they're following. They're following something different. I'm interested in what this Bible teaches. This is what I'm interested in. I'm interested in that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Listen, there's people, those people that you think of. How many people can think of five people that they know who once attended church who no longer attends church? Hands up, please. Five people. You can think of five? You can think of five? I can think of five. I can think of 50. And if I sat down and I'd have to stop at 50 because it would keep going. What happened? Well, what happened? They got disappointed. They got frustrated. What was it? They haven't tapped into the power source. They haven't tapped into to what the Bible is promising here in Acts. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you'll recognize when you were baptized. Hands up if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you can remember and you know when that took place. Okay, when did it take place? Someone tell me when it happened for you. Throw it out. Sorry? New Day Christian Conference. And what happened? And you started speaking in tongues? Tremendous. This is what this is talking about. The power. And I believe that power then, working in you, has kept you, Hannah. It's kept you through difficult times. Kept you energetic. Kept you wanting to do things like that youth pizza evening. And all the other meetings that you attend and do. It's that power driving you, encouraging you, the power of Almighty God, tapped into the power source. And for you, brother, shout it out. What? Where? Yeah.
Yeah, I was at a conference, but I knew before I went, I knew that I was speaking tongues, and nobody in my church did that.
Sustained you. So you see, for anyone who's confused about this, the Holy Spirit is present with every believer. Okay? It's the circumcision of the heart. The Holy Spirit is present with every believer. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we're really talking about. This baptism of the Holy Spirit that Acts 1 verse 8 is speaking about. They were already believers. The people in Acts 8 that we read about, they were already believers. The people in Acts 19, already believers. They're already believers. But they didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit manifesting in and through them in the same way that the disciples had. And Jesus had promised that power. And it's that power that has carried the church around the world. And it's that power that makes individuals faithful when others aren't, I'm convinced. And what happens is, if the people don't have that power to drive them through, what happens? Christianity becomes boring. You see, Christianity is not boring for me. It's not boring for me at all. Because I know I could meet someone tomorrow, I could meet someone this afternoon. The Lord gives me ideas. I've got all sorts of things going on at the moment, which are, I mean, amazing. And that's come through Him speaking to me. Creative ideas. I read the Bible verse about the Lord giving witty inventions. I said, I'll have that. And now I've got one. Hallelujah. Well, I asked Him for it. Well, I read it in the Bible. Well, I took it seriously. Well, He lives in me. Well, why wouldn't it happen? Now, you see, that happens because I put a demand on the Bible. I said, that's what it says. I'm treating it as my governing document. It's my governing document. You see? And so, when I've been thinking about people who've been drifting, and people who drift away, and people who don't seem to have the power of God in them, the power to be faithful, the power to have... I like what Sunny did, Sunny's testimony. She said, hold on a sec, no, I want to go to church on Sunday. I'm going to church. You know what? I get another job. I like that. Well, that's irresponsible type of faith. Yeah, that's right. If you want to word it as irresponsible, in a way, you know what I mean? I'm trying to be provocative, unnecessarily so. But you know what I mean? I like that type of tenacity. Shake yourself up. Disturb yourself. Disturb yourself in that area. What do you need in life? What do you need right now? You need healing right now? Disturb. Put a demand on your faith. What do you need? Don't just continue as ordinary. Oh, well, this is what my life is like. No. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And that power is the dunamis power of God. It's the explosive power of God. Let me tell you, an explosion changes things. If there's a wall and there's an explosion, there's no wall after it. Not the God type of explosion. It blows the wall. Oh, it's a thick wall. Yeah, so what? The wall's gone. Ah, yeah, but this wall is big. It's gone. It's gone. Because the explosive power of God is enough to blow the wall away. What wall is there in your life? What is the wall? What's there? Put a demand on your faith. Stir yourself up and say, no, I'm not going to just be an ordinary type person. I won't live that ordinary life. That's not for me. It's boring. And this Bible that I read, this contract that I have with God, this tells me that my life should be an explosive life where all things are possible. But it's not just for those supernatural things. It's for that daily walk. You see, what I found is that the supernatural happens automatically when the daily walk is consistent. When I first went into the ministry, you know, people, I wasn't thinking about miracles and the supernatural and all sorts of things that have happened for us and the churches that were being birthed through our ministry. I wasn't thinking about those things at all. I didn't think of those things. I wasn't interested in those things. I just wanted to serve Jesus. I just wanted to faithfully serve Jesus without compromise. The churches, the denominational churches, as I perceived, were trying to force me to compromise. And they try to force people to compromise. Oh, you want to work for us? Well, yeah, but you'll have to compromise. And so people reluctantly compromise. And they get a house and they get a job and they get a thing and they get, and so they reluctantly compromise. They don't want to, but they just do it. Because you see, that's what's seen to be reasonable. That's what seemed to be the reasonable thing to do, and just accept it and just, well, this is the way fashion's going and trends are going, so we'll go this way. But I'm so happy to have had from those early days an unreasonable type of faith. Not going by the reason of this world and to say, you know what, you, I'm not interested, keep it. Keep it. I'm on a different path. Yeah. I'm trying to encourage everyone this morning, you know, because I don't want people to fall. I see people fall aside. I see the feeble. I'll just be honest with you. You know, when people don't come week in, week out to church, you know what I think? I don't know if I should say, but I think it's feeble. I probably shouldn't say it. I probably should be more pastoral and not say that. I'm just going to be honest. I just think it's feeble. I think they're being feeble. And I don't want that for them. I want them to be strong, because I know if they're strong in the Lord's got good things for them and their family. And see, because I pray for them and I want the best for them and I love them. I just want the best for them. And I know that the tenacity of saying, I will sow, it will grow, I will reap. I know that that's the pattern of God. I know his patterns. Listen, Jesus gave a pattern. He said, listen, pray daily. Heavenly Father, give us our daily bread. Daily. There's a rhythm to life. Daily. In the Jewish calendar, you know, it's set out very clearly. There's a daily rhythm for prayer. 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock. In the book of Acts, you see, throughout the book of Acts, if you have the wisdom and the historical knowledge, you can see that pattern playing out throughout the book of Acts. Jesus cries out his last prayer at the time of prayer, Jewish prayer. Jesus is brought out at that time of Jewish prayer because he's the lamb that's to be sacrificed. And what did they do in the temple in Jerusalem? They brought out the lamb at that time to be sacrificed. You see, there's a lot of parallels. The point I'm making is this. There's a rhythm and a consistency. And God is saying to us, listen, have that in place and make that a number one. When you read that verse, it says you shall receive power. It's the power to be faithful on a daily basis, as well as to hand tracts out and do all those other wonderful things. But the main start of it is to be faithful in the morning, faithful throughout the day, faithfulness and being faithful to your friends, faithful to the family, faithful to your church, being faithful in those things, the discipline of being faithful. What happens is, listen, you see a nice big bodybuilder, good muscles, big. Guess how they got there? They really went hard at the gym 1 week. No. They got faithful after week, after week, after week, after week. It's not hard, actually, to do it. I've got several friends who've done that, and one of them was in Mr. Universe. It's not a hard thing to do. It's easy. It's actually easy if you adopt a rhythm of going to the gym and doing the right exercises, and you sow in that area and you grow in that area, and then you eventually reap in that area. And it's the same for every area. And what I'm asking this morning is this, listen, God, in these days, we're living in strange days. We saw the lights, wondering about those lights and things like that. Here's what I also know. In Israel is a small place, really. but it's at the center of world affairs at the moment. Israel, Palestine, it's at the center of world affairs. I know that Acts 1 teaches that Jesus will come again. We've read it this morning, didn't we? So if it teaches it, he's coming again. When's he coming again? Well, listen, I don't know. It's not for us to know the times or seasons, and I don't like to spend too much time on it. But Jesus did teach us to look for the signs. And what I do know is that there are signs. We've never had a world in the sort of situation it's currently in. And so what I'm encouraging us to do is this: be faithful, be enthusiastic, be determined to be the person that God's called you to be. I don't know what God's called you to be. I wonder if there's anyone here who's brave enough to say, I think God's called me to this or that, and you want to speak it out. Is there anyone? And you're not there yet, but God, you know God's called you to something. Anyone? It's a tricky... Please. Yes. So you fell out with your sister, just so everyone hears, you fell out with your sister.
So my dad married my mom when he had three children.
Okay.
So these three children, my siblings' family, used to come to visit to our house.
Okay.
So when she came to visit, so I'll call her my cousin, because I used to call her sister, my sister, who is related to my siblings. Came to visit, I fell with my sister, so I just wanted to be spiteful. And I went and told her that my sister is called, she's late, she was called Rosalind. So I went to her and said, Rose said she doesn't like you, because you are not a sister. But that, I just created it. So my mom had a lot of anger. When my mom heard that, so she went to my mom and said, I want to go back home, because she said, I don't belong here. So my mom called me, and I said, she said it. And she said, I don't care whether she said it or not. Why did you go and say that to her? So she started beating me. Because she beat me when she was in full of anger, and I cried, I asked her to stop, she didn't stop. So the only way she stopped, I started speaking in tongues. And then when we went to church, the children with our own service, the adults had their own service. I wasn't hearing a lot of people speaking in tongues and whatever, because in the children's service, there was nobody who was speaking in tongues. So I started speaking in tongues. That's when my mom stopped beating me. So that testimony is about two people being changed. My mom's anger stopped when that happened. Myself, from there, I find myself, I'm not a person who wants, I'm a person who wants peace. Okay. I've become a unifier to my friends, to my family. If somebody comes to me with somebody says, I know I do this and this, the way my brain functions, I've got a reason, an excuse for every behavior. Just for people to come together, I always defend when somebody's doing something which is not right. So that the testimony which I can say, it has changed my mom. All the anger stopped that day, because I didn't stop speaking with the tongues. I was like, I was mad.
Praise
being
God.
Mad,
okay.
Going everywhere, talking and talking.
So this is a testimony about the speaking of tongues.
Yeah.
And how that speaking of tongues has changed. Now, the mic, which is a great testimony, and thank you for it. What I was after was, is there anything that God has told you that he's called you into that where you're not there yet, but you know you're on a journey there?
All my life, I remember, if yourself, you told me that if I come through somebody, a prophet, they say to me, you've got great things which God called you for. And even myself, I know that, and I know I'm not there yet. But when we come here all the time, I ask, I am weak to that level. And I'm just waiting upon the Lord to change me one day.
Okay.
I know I've got great things which...
So those great things, what do you think they are? Great things is too big. It can be anything. What do you think those things are? Have you got more details on them?
To share the gospel with everybody I meet.
Share the gospel with everyone you meet. That's evangelism.
Yeah.
So it's evangelism. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. So here's the interesting thing, okay? So here's how this works. Thank you for this. This is ideal testimony. Because, number one, it's a testimony about the power of tongues, and the reality of what we've been talking about when the Holy Spirit baptizes people. This spiritual language, which is entirely biblical, and which in, for example, in Mark 16, Jesus says these signs will follow them that believe. The speaking tongues, one of the signs. But here's the thing. On this one, the evangelism, we've got to now faithfully, daily, sow into that desire. And then, okay, you'll grow in that desire, and then you will manifest that desire. So how do we sow into that desire? I'm going to tell you, okay? Start writing down what you would like to speak to people. Yeah. Just write it down on a piece of paper. Pray. Say, Lord, what would you have me share? The Lord will give you something different than he gave me. He gave me the Are You Elect tract that's out there. And other tracts, that's what he gave me. But he'll give you something different. And it, because he knows who he's called you to be sharing with. And who you are as a person. So the first part of that fulfillment will take place as you faithfully make it a part of your daily routine where you say, God's called me to that thing. And I'm not going to wait for one day to turn up to a church service and it'll just suddenly happen. No, God works like this, everyone. Watch now. This is how God works. Remember this. This is how he works spiritually. He sows. And that which is sown grows. And that which is growing then manifests the harvest. That's how God does it. So you sow into that area. You say, right, I'm going to start writing down what I want to say to people. Or I'll start picturing it in my mind. There was that person, the Holy Spirit will lead you to someone and you'll have a desire, okay? And it'll be like this. You'll have a desire. Let's say, let me picture someone here. I picture Micah, okay? Pretend I don't know her. And she's over here. Actually, no, I picture Stuart because she's attractive, so I may be interested anyway. If I didn't know her, you know how my psychology works. This is the psychology. Go with me, everyone. Picture Stuart instead. Very nice, okay? Man, and this is how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit says, talk to him. Share the gospel with him. Just go and share with him. Share with him. And you say, no, should I? No. And you just, oh, that's an interesting, look at that over there. I should take a photograph of that and I'll edit it afterwards. And you just drift away from what the Holy Spirit is saying. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Everyone experienced this type of thing?
Yeah.
You know, you have a prompting from the Holy Spirit And then you don't yield to it. And what happens? I'll tell you what happens. The next week comes along, okay? And I see, oh, it's that bloke again. Oh. Oh. I'll get a track, don't I? Shall I just go up to him and just hand it to him? I could hand it to him, perhaps. Could do. Oh, and someone shouts my name over there. I just put it in. I just go over there instead. I just forget about it. And a couple of weeks goes by, and guess who I see again? I see him again. And I've got a tract in my pocket, and I pull it out, and I'm walking up to him, and something takes a thing, and he walks over there, and that's it. And then I just forget about it. And then what happens is this. I stop really trying to hand out the tract or speak to the person to invite them. I see him again, and now I just forget it. I'm not bothered. And what happens is it's what the Bible calls a hardness of heart. There can be a hardness of heart that comes in. And so instead of being tender and swayed to what the Holy Spirit is pointing us towards, we just have a hardness of heart. We say, and we grieve the Holy Spirit by not doing what the Holy Spirit has told us to do. Are you with me? Yeah. So this is how we get around that. We just make sure that every day, and it's a daily thing, this is the discipline. Ladies, you know, I'm amazed with the ladies. I'm amazed because I see Macy now and Micah. The ladies, men, you know, it's amazing. I just like sort of a bit of a wash or something. The ladies, they put like, they got like makeup, they put it on, and they got something else, they take something else off, and they put something else. I don't know what's going on. It takes ages. It takes ages. It's just, you know, and it's all like things, and it's all but it's not hard. Why? Because they want to do it. Why do they want to do it? Because they want to look pretty. And it's a nice thing. Nice thing. Why do we want to do this? Because we want our behavior to be pretty before God. We want the Lord to be pleased with us. We want to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest now. Time for work is now. Now's the time." And so he's called us to be busy about his work. But the thing is, if you look to be doing too much, it's daunting and you switch off. So don't think of a huge thing to do. It doesn't have to. It's just writing a few lines. Or picturing that person. And then just having the courage. And just one person. And then praying into it. Say, "Lord, I'm open. I'm open, Lord. Help me to have the courage to be all that you called me to be, to do all you called me to do. Help me, Lord." And then what he does is he starts then, see? And the sensitivity to him grows. And as that sensitivity grows, begins to flourish, and it grows and it flourishes. And after a while, guess what? There's a harvest. Hey! That's the way he does it. That's the way he does it. And so we're all called to different things. So as a team, okay, we're called. And he calls us to be about our Father's business in whatever area. And so let's just be diligent in those areas to take those steps. And let's say, look, I won't be a victim. I remember in Calgary, when we got married, I met with about 12 young men, sat around a table, went to Starbucks with them because they were all interested in this bloke from Wales who'd been, you know, and they were interested in me, and I'd spoken in the various churches, and so they wanted to meet with me, and I went to Starbucks with them all, and we sat down, and I told them around the table, I said, you know, the sad truth is, because they were all leaders in the church of the youth or worship or involved in some way. They all were enthusiastic Christians. And I said to them this, I said, listen, the truth is, if statistics are true, then several of you around this table won't be following Jesus in a few years' time. And I said, I don't like the thought of that. So I want to warn you, lads, now. You better stick, you know, to that Bible and be in the Word and be all that God's called you. And I was telling him what I was telling them what I'm telling you this morning. And you know, as I look back at those young men, we were talking about them not so long ago. Several of them now, most of them have just gone off, drifted away, no longer serving Jesus, no longer attending a church, don't even attend a church. I'll tell you this. Let me tell you the truth. If you don't attend a church weekly, regularly, it's dangerous. Dangerous. I'm telling you the truth because I've been called to preach the truth, okay? Dangerous. If you're not daily having a strong commitment to Jesus, the truth is probably you'll drift away. Probably you drift away. I tell Macy and Sam, easy to follow now as youngsters living in our home. Easy to follow. But you know what? They need to be following Jesus for themselves daily. They need to see mom and dad daily, being followers of Jesus daily. Otherwise, they drift away. We're living in perilous times. It's not a playground out there. It's a war situation. So, you know, if I sound a little bit strong in this, good. It's warfare. Let me tell you, okay? The enemy wants to tell you to relax. Take it easy. Be calm. Don't listen to him. Chill out. When I see that man that I meant to hand attract to, the enemy's whispering at that time. He's whispering, don't bother. You make a fool of yourself. You don't make a fool of yourself. He'll think you're odd. He'll think you're strange. He'll think there's something wrong with you. Don't go and give him a something wrong. Well, you see? But Jesus became of no reputation for us. And he says to us, listen, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. And so he's calling us to that life. It's a life of service and surrender to him, where we become of no reputation, but he has all of us. Listen, everyone. I feel strongly about these things because I see what's happening in this world and in the church. I really see it so clearly. And I know the enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. He's got a plan for your life, the enemy, okay? It's to steal from you, to kill you, and then destroy you. He's got a plan for you. And he's working with a group of people to, you know, make it come to pass. He's got a plan for our lovely children to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's got a plan for our family members, our friends. The Bible says aggressive men lay hold of the kingdom. They take it. That's what we've got to have. We've got to have that type of attitude. We say, listen, you don't get to where I'm talking about, okay, with a passive attitude, with a sort of, oh, well, you know, say a little verse now and then. That doesn't do it. I'm talking about a tenacious walk through this life. A deliberate tenacity that's employed because we are in a warfare situation, because we are in a time when we can't mess around and play games. Okay? The Bible demands nothing less. I mean, you know, I'm not going to start the sermon again, but fight the good fight of faith. And it goes on and on and on throughout the New Testament. The weapons of our warfare being mighty in God. And you heard me say this week with Stephen Ballant, you know, when I was in America, And I was speaking in America to those senators. The message I gave to the senators in America and to our brother Johnson's team, who's now the Speaker of the House, I told them very clearly, I said, you're complaining, whining, and whinging about what's happening to you instead of doing what the Bible's teaching you ought to do if you're a believer. I say you're trapped in your religious culture of Christianity rather than the Bible. I said, now I see spiritual weapons of warfare lined up, and I saw them lined up against the back wall. Massive, like, weapons they were, huge. I saw them as a sort of pencil drawings. Could see them. And I could see they were totally unemployed, and these people knew nothing about those weapons. And the Lord spoke to me, and he says, tell them about the weapons. I said, do you know? You see, listen, they had television ads against them. Terrible television ads against them. Lies. They're accusing them of all sorts of lies. The Democrats are accusing them of lies, you see. They were accusing the Republicans with lies, falsehoods. And they were taking these TV ads out every day, bombarding the public, the voters. And so I said, well, what are you going to do? You can't use lawyers to combat it. They explained why. I said, what are you going to do? You've got to go to a higher power. You've got to employ the powers that you have available to you. As a Christian, you have powers available to you. Do not surrender. No surrender. No surrender to sickness. Don't surrender to it. Say, I'm not having it. You need to get a little bit angry. Seriously. Don't be passive. You need to get, there needs to be a stirring inside. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a passivity and, oh, well, I'm hoping for. You need to get stuck in faith and say, I put a demand on what the Bible says. My Bible says power is mine. I choose to use it, therefore. I can't do that for you. You have to do that for you. I have to do it for me. The Bible tells us both that we should do it. The religion of Christianity, passive, like any other religion. Passive, knows nothing about this, doesn't really engage with what the Bible's saying. Instead, it has traditions, dead traditions. I like some traditions. Some traditions are good, but so much is just dead. God is calling us to life. Life abundant. And we get it by not being passive, but by every day saying, I will sow into this. I will grow into this. I will reap from this. That's what I believe. So whatever the situation is, you can go to Almighty God because he loves you. You're his child. And I'm telling you, he wants to hear from you. So you go to him and you pour out your heart to him and then allow him to pour out his will into your surrendered will. And you'll find power will manifest in and through your life. The great power of God will cause you to flourish regardless to those around you, regardless to the circumstances. He will make a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And they look at you and they'll be amazed. They'll see you flourishing. They did everything. I've had people who've been in church. You'd think they were for me. Totally against me. Totally against me. Lies, evil. Don't worry about it. It's no bother. They'll never win. Never. Because they're corrupt. Our job is to be yielded to him. And he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. We're on the victory side in this, okay? Praise God. I love you, my precious brothers and sisters. I know I'm in a fight. I know that you're in a fight. That's why I'm passionate. I love you, and I want you to win. I want a church of winners. That's what I like, is winning. It's not the taking part that counts. It's the winning. You want a Bible text for it? I'll give you one. Paul, what did he say? Run in such a way that you win the prize. Not run to take part like everyone else. No, you run to win. You fight to win. Be a winner in life. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand, everyone. Let's stand. Be winners. He's called us to win.